Please note that this Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday are Ember Days. And this means that for those of you who are between the ages of 21 and 59, you must observe the fast, that is, one main meal per day and two lesser meals. No eating, of course, between meals. For those who are between the ages of 7 and older, I should say, on Wednesday and Saturday, those are days of partial abstinence, and that means those who are ages 7 and older may have meat only once a day, and that at the main meal. Friday, of course, is a day of complete and full abstinence for all. Now, next Saturday, December 17th, we are in need of volunteers and workers to help clean and decorate the chapel for Christmas. If you are able to spare a few hours on Saturday, it'd be greatly appreciated. We'll begin working after the 8 o'clock Mass and work to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and of course lunch will be provided for all the volunteers. The Sunday donation envelopes are available for your taking in the vestibule. I ask that you please pick them up today. If you wish to have envelopes and there are none with your name on them, please call the office this week. And finally, St. Pius V School will hold its annual Christmas concert at Sweet Hollow Hall in Melville on Thursday, December the 22nd at 7:30 p.m., and all are most welcome to attend. Now, the epistle appointed to be read today for the third Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh, be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the Holy Gospel, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. At that time the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, No. They said therefore unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to tell you a true story that happened just over 60 years ago. There was a certain priest who was asked to visit a man on death row in a state penitentiary. This man was on death row because he was convicted and found guilty of murder. Death row is the expression used to indicate that a convicted criminal has been sentenced to death by the court. And such criminals are then usually set aside in a special cell block of the prison. There they await the execution of the sentence of their appeal is heard, and they are given a lesser sentence, such as life imprisonment. Now, this particular man on death row was not a religious man at all. And thus, when the priest first came to visit him, He was not interested in Christ. He was not interested in forgiveness. And he was indeed not interested at all in the Catholic faith. You see, he was a very hard man, and he was not sorry for what he had done. But the good priest did not give up. He continued to stop by and see him, although the man treated him with coldness and terrible disrespect. The priest continued to visit the condemned man and to even show him kindness. And you know, it was not long after that the prisoner looked forward to the visits from the priest. And with each successive visit, the priest came to know more and more about him, as the man came to trust and confide more and more in the priest. Now, one particular visit, the condemned man told the priest he had a son and how he loved and cherished his little boy above everything else. How he longed to see him at least one more time. He told the priest that there was nothing in this world that meant more to him than that little boy. And especially now on death row. And as they talked about the little boy, the good priest asked him, "What would you be willing to do for that boy of yours?" And the man thought for a moment, and then he answered, "I would stand between that boy and hell. I would stand between that boy and hell." And the priest immediately responded, "My good friend, that is exactly what Christ has done for you." And he then explained to the condemned man what he meant. How Christ came down from heaven, took upon himself a created human nature, and died for our sins on the cross. And when the priest was finished explaining our redemption, the hardened heart of the condemned man was pierced. And with God's grace and a true repentance, he asked if it were possible that his sins be forgiven. And the priest assured him, if he was truly sorry for his sins, they could be forgiven. The man then asked the priest to forgive him his sins and to help him make his peace with God and prepare his soul for eternity. Having never received the sacrament of baptism, he was instructed in the Catholic faith and soon after received the cleansing and the redeeming waters of baptism. And in his gratitude to God and to that good priest, he asked only one favor, and that was that that priest go to his little boy and tell him all about Christ and all he had done to save them. Today, my dear people, is the third Sunday of Advent. And the third Sunday of Advent has always been called Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is the Latin word for rejoice. It is the first word in the introit of today's Mass, which words are taken from the epistle of the Mass. For in the epistle, St. Paul exhorts the Philippians and all Christians down through the centuries to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, he writes. Again I say, rejoice. The apostle tells us to rejoice and to have peace in our hearts. because the Savior has come and we have been redeemed. And thus, even in the midst of bitter persecution of the early centuries of the church, even in the midst of great hardships and difficulties that Catholics must face, great obstacles in their daily lives, overwhelming crosses and hardships, St. Paul still reminds those who believe in Christ to rejoice and not to be anxious. And each year, the church repeats these words of the apostle to remind us of the birth of Christ and his subsequent saving death upon the cross. And thus the church desires that as we renew the joyful anticipation of our infant Savior's first coming at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, we be ever mindful of the joy that should be present in our hearts. The church herself cannot wait to express the joy of Christmas, the joy of the coming Savior, even now on this Gaudete Sunday. She removes the violet-colored vestments of penance, and she vests her priests in the rose-colored vestments of joy. She adorns the altar again with flowers, and she even permits that the organ be played today. The church rejoices because she knows that according to the apostle, the Lord is near, and so is our redemption. And this, my dear friends, is what Christmas is all about. This is why we have such joy at Christmas. Because the greatest gift that we could ever receive is Christ the Savior, and His with Him, the redemption of our souls. You know, the condemned man in the story truly loved his son. And what great lengths he would go to protect and help that little boy who was his only treasure in this world. But you know, his love for his son and the great lengths he was willing to go for him, that is, he said he would put himself between his son and hell itself, that is nothing compared to the love of the eternal Son of God for us. And the great lengths that Christ was willing to go and did go for us, so that He, the God-man, and the only Savior of the world, truly put Himself between us and eternal damnation in hell. For man had sinned. Man had sinned, and by sinning he offered to God an infinite insult, an insult worthy of eternal damnation. But the eternal Son of God, as it were, looked down from heaven and saw his treasure, his little ones, weeping. He saw his little ones without ever having any hope of going to heaven. He saw his little ones condemned to an eternity of misery. He saw man, his little children, never going to see his eternal Father. And so out of the infinite love, the indescribable love that he bears for each and every one of us, his little ones, he came down from heaven and he clothed himself in our human nature. The divine infant Jesus willingly took upon himself our sins and truly put himself between us and hell. He came to Bethlehem as the innocent little babe so that one day he might suffer and die a most bloody and violent death upon the cross, in order that we would be set free from our sins and from the punishment of eternal damnation. St. Louis de Montfort, commenting on this, said that with ineffable delight, Christ the Redeemer espoused the cross even at his incarnation. And with unutterable joy, he looked for it, and he bore it during his whole life, until at length he was finally fixed to it, attached to the cross. My dear friends, this is how much God loves us. This is how much God cares for us. Each and every one of us in the chapel this morning can say, God loves me. God cares about me. Let us, therefore, as St. John the Apostle once wrote, let us love God in return, because God hath loved us first. During these last few weeks of Advent, while we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us not forget what it is really all about. And as we consider the gift of God's love for us, the gift of the divine Redeemer, let us not forget to prepare our gift for him. And the gift, of course, that we can give him, the only gift we can offer to him, is the gift of our own hearts. But hearts that are generous, hearts that are pure according to our state in life, hearts that are patient and kind to others, hearts that are ready to forgive others their offenses, hearts that are willing to deny themselves, to take up the cross of their daily life and suffer with their Savior, and hearts that are determined to keep God's holy laws and avoid mortal sin and its occasions. Prepare your hearts then to receive our Lord in Holy Communion at this Christmas and at every Mass, for we must never forget that at every Mass, Christ is made present truly and really, substantially in the Blessed Sacrament. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, only the priest has the power to make Bethlehem and Calvary present for us. For at the double consecration of the Mass, Bethlehem and Calvary are made indeed, truly and really, but unbloody, in an unbloody manner, present on our altar. Never forget, my dear friends, that when we receive the divine infant in Holy Communion, when we receive our Lord and Savior in Holy Communion, we do more than just hold him in our arms. We hold him in our hearts. And thus, if anyone has been away from confession for a long time, if anyone has made bad confessions, now is the time to return and make a good confession. Now is the time to come and seek the forgiveness and the mercy of God in confession, knowing that there is no greater gift that we can give our divine Savior than the gift of our hearts. Let us prepare these hearts by making a good and worthy confession. We'll never forget that he has already put himself between us and hell in order to obtain our hearts. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.